We, Willie Keeler, standing tall between two crossed bats. Never in all the games I saw as a kid at the Yankee Stadium, one long, loud foul ball from my grandmother's parlor, or at Shea, a half hour from home on the Long Island Railroad. As a reporter at Old Memorial Stadium in Baltimore and Municipal Stadium in Cleveland, at Fenway, Wrigley, and the Stick, not to mention Tiger Stadium, the Big A, and Chavez Ravine, had I so much as sniffed a foul ball, though I always brought my glove just in case. Until now. I do not remember the count, the inning, or the name of the pitcher whose offering Brady Anderson fouled back on Cal's magical night. The ball traveled on a fierce diagonal, like a knife cutting a Passover brisket, whistled over the protective netting behind home plate, and headed my way. Whatever the pitch, he was late on it. The ball got bigger and bigger as it spun closer and closer. Hard to say how fast it was traveling, but fast, because I can get out of the way when motivated. Once, I leaped out of a moving car over my father's ample belly when a misguided bird plummeted through the moonroof and landed in my lap. My family calls it the day the bird flew in and Mamo flew out. Anderson's foul ball adopted a downward trajectory by the time it got to our section, heading straight from my pupik, the Yiddish word for belly button, which my grandmother had transposed to further south of the equator. And so it landed, smack dab between my thighs, and I squeezed it tight. It was the best catch I ever made. While admiring my trophy and my dexterity, I felt a hand reaching for the ball. Some guy across the aisle had vaulted over the black railing dividing the concrete steps in an attempt to snatch the ball from my, well, you get the idea. My shriek marred Cal's otherwise perfect day. "Get out, you fuck!" Loud enough that Brady could have heard me. Loud enough to scare the interloper away. I know I have that ball somewhere. I feel about that ball, about that game, about that place, about Cal's 2,131 game curtain call, the big number one unfurling on the wall of the B&O warehouse behind right field, the way I feel about baseball. It's mine. Baseball is mine the way my lungs are mine. It animates me. And it will animate you too, if you let it. I don't mean to sound proprietary, but I did write Cal's Rookie of the Year story for the Washington Post in 1982 when the streak began, and roasted him at some shishi dinner in Washington, D.C., when it was over. I remember presenting him an Orioles cap with Hebrew letters that neither of us could read. When beautiful Camden Yards was in the planning stages, my neighbor, Larry Lucchino, then right-hand man to owner Edward Bennett Williams, spotted a book on my shelf about America's ball yards. A gift from my ex-husband, it had photos that neither Larry nor I had seen, and more importantly, it had blueprints. Larry asked to borrow it from me. I never got it back, and I never found another copy. On the other hand, he was the only one of us building a ballpark. One day, maybe two decades later in Cooperstown, I was introduced to Janet Marie Smith, the goddess of ballpark design, who got her start with Lucchino at Camden Yards, and said, instead of hello or nice to meet you, "Where's my book?" She said, "Oh yeah, I think we cut that up." So yeah, I feel a little bit like the place belongs to me. I don't remember my first big league game. I do remember the first game I wasn't allowed to attend. I was 5 years old when my father inexplicably took my older sister, who hates sports, to see the Dodgers at Ebbets Field in their last year as Brooklyn residents. They brought me a souvenir as a peace offering, an insulting girly hat, definitely not a ball cap, with a wide brim and alternating panels of Dodgers blue and white, which I stomped into the grass of our Long Island backyard. It was my opinion, then and now, that you're never too young for baseball. That same year, my grandmother, Celia Zelda